Welcome to the Guru Mojo podcast number 6. I'm your host, Kenny Jenkins, and I'd like to invite you to join me as I try to unravel the mystery of this incarnation and get to the heart of what really matters for us in this lifetime. It's my job to share with you the wisdom of the great teachers I've come across in my search for what is true and good. I'm so lucky to be able to experience so many different things that bring me peace in this life. And it would be just wrong for me to keep it all to myself. You know, if I can share just one thing with just one person and they can benefit from that, then I consider this all worth the effort. I'm no expert or Zen master by far. I don't consider myself a teacher, except that in the sense that it's been said a second grader can teach a first grader. So basically, I feel like I can tie my own shoes, spiritually speaking, most days. So maybe I can show you how to tie yours. And to go even deeper, I'm not telling you anything that you don't already know. We all know this stuff. It's just that we may need a little reminder every now and then. And it would go without saying that I'm not a guru, except for the fact that I did pick the name for the podcast. There are many different meanings to the word guru, and I like the one that is not teacher, but rather spiritual friend. I heard that once from a spiritual friend of mine. And mojo to me is that inner power we all have, that magic, you know, like as in get your mojo working, or he lost his mojo. So that what I'm doing with Guru Mojo is to place offerings of wisdom at your feet that you may partake in and thereby feed your own inner magical spiritual friend. Because aren't they hungry too? Of course they are. Just give them some food. And speaking of this incarnation that we find ourselves in now, I just wanted to say, isn't it freaking cool? I mean, seriously, do me a favor and hold your hand up in front of you and look at it. Just look at that. It's amazing. Make a fist and open it back up. It's amazing. We forget just how amazing it is that we have been given a human body that we drive around like a car. It's like we're 16 years old and have gone into the living room on a Friday night and asked mom and dad if we can borrow the car, except that it's a human body. And they say, sure, just don't stay out past 100 years. Oh, mom, can I just stay out for 110? Because we've only borrowed these bodies for a really short time. I've heard of a teacher who said that birth and death are but doors that we walk through briefly on our journey, or something like that. You get it. But yes, you can put your hand down now. Thank you. Now, I have had a really amazing couple of weeks, and I wanted to tell you about some of the cool stuff I've been up to and tell you about some of the great things that are happening here in my area of the world, which is Northeast Florida, in the beautiful city of Jacksonville. I've also got an amazing exercise I'd like to share with you that I found on the Duncan Trussell Family Hour podcast, right? I mean, go figure. Oh, first, my voice, to me, I don't know if you could tell, sounds a little hoarse. I was up late last night hooting and hollering at the Breeders concert. Yes, I love the Breeders. And also, it was my son Kai's first concert. He's about to turn 8 years old, and he also loves the Breeders. And so he went out to the Ponte Vedra Concert Hall, and he had his first live show, and it was awesome. We had a great time. But feeling a little hoarse, nonetheless, good stuff. Here we go. I wanted to talk about the attunement I came across on the Duncan Trussell Family Hour. It's an episode with Paul Selig. Should totally check it out. It's chock full of wisdom, as Paul is an amazing human being who has a talent to channel wisdom like you have never heard before. That's episode 307 of the Duncan Trussell Family Hour with Paul Selig. Here's the exercise. It's an attunement that comes from a group of wisdom teachers So as I say it, I'll be saying we instead of I. I just wanted to do it word for word. So here's the attunement you can totally participate in if you're up for that sort of thing. And here it goes. The teachers say, sit back, if you would, and imagine this, that there is an aspect of you who knows who he is, who is unafraid, who knows who she is, that is not confused. There is an aspect of you seeking to announce herself in realization, and who and what she is, in an experiential way. Would you say these words after us, please? I know who I am in truth. I know what I am in truth. I know how I serve in truth. I am free, I am free, I am free. Now ask yourself these questions. Are you willing to live to a place of being where you may be fully expressed and know the self anew? If in fact you are willing, see a staircase before you. Only 3 steps are needed. Take the first step, and if you are willing to release any ideas you may be holding of who and what you are that are operations and limitations, simply say yes. Then go to the next step and acknowledge this. The life that you have lived thus far has been an opportunity to learn, and it will change by your new agreement to be who and what you truly are. If you are willing to release the idea that you are your past and what happened to you, simply say yes. Then go to the next step. Here lies a threshold, and on the count of 3, we are going to invite you to step over the threshold into what we call the upper room, which is a higher level of vibration and agreement. And by doing this, you are giving permission to be realized in a new way, to be known as who you truly are behind the small self-structure or the codification of history. On the count of 3, if you would, step over the threshold. 1, 2, 3. Step over and be received. Welcome to the upper room. Be known by us as you wish and give permission to be reclaimed, rearticulated, as who and what you have always been in the higher octave or the upper room. Thank you each for your presence. That is amazing. I really hope you got something out of that. It just really was great for me when I did it. It's awesome. Check out that episode. Okay. A few things I've been up to recently. For starters, I have discovered my favorite new restaurant. It's called the Murray Hillbilly. These guys are serving up the finest vegan cuisine that you could imagine. Murray Hillbilly is a fun play on the name Murray Hill. It's the neighborhood where they are in Jacksonville. They're currently a food truck and have just started work on a new brick and mortar restaurant in Murray Hill. And let me tell you, the food is beyond great. It is amazing. You don't even have to be a vegetarian to appreciate it. The flavors are so on point and everything is just so well thought out. The Murray Hillbilly is owned and operated by Davi M. They call it vegan Southern comfort food, and I can assure you that it is. Oh, yes. There is the barbecue chicken topped with slaw. They call it the Bubba. And the chicken has this little bit of char to it, that famous, crispy, delicious barbecue char. Growing up, when I was old enough to run the grill at home, and we'd have barbecue chicken, my mom would always say, "Don't forget to burn me a breast." Oh, she was so right. They have these great names for the dishes. The Darn Tootin' is barbecue tempeh topped with mac, and that's Ava's go-to. The other day, I had the Dadgummit. this crab cake with aioli. And I have to say that it was literally the best crab cake I have ever tasted. Seriously. So perfectly crispy on the outside and just delicious. I don't know how they do it. Magic, probably. I'm good with that, by the way. Oh, and the Hush Puppies. Best ever. And I am a Hush Puppy snob, let me tell you. I used to make the Hush Puppies at my first job out at the Homestead Restaurant in Jacksonville Beach back in the 80s. Literally a landmark of Southern cooking. And I have been hard-pressed to enjoy a Hush Puppy ever since. These guys nailed it. The Murray Hillbilly. Check them out. They have a GoFundMe that I encourage you to visit and support, even if you don't live in Jacksonville, but you just want to support good people doing good work to make this world a better place. I'll link to the GoFundMe in the show notes, but it's GoFundMe.com/Murray Hillbilly Needs a Home. That last part is all with dashes, as in GoFundMe.com/Murray. That's M-U-R-R-A-Y. GoFundMe.com/Murray-Hillbilly-Needs-a-Home. At a certain level of sponsorship, you can unlock a special menu item that is created and named after you. Are you kidding me? Who does not want that? Now, I've been a primarily plant-based eater for many years myself, since the late 90s. And I'm pro-choice when it comes to just about everything, and that includes what people choose to eat. I have zero judgment for meat eaters. In fact, even some Buddhist monks are not all vegetarians. In some places, they get their food only by begging. So what is given to them that day is what they have to eat. All they have in the world is their robes and an alms bowl, and every day they go out and beg for food. You can't be really a picky eater at that point, if you know what I mean. So it's all good. When people ask me about being a vegetarian and they talk about wanting to do it or having tried it once, I tell them that instead of going vegetarian, I recommend people who are interested in making a change consider going dairy-free. I won't go into it too much. Do your own research, but dairy is an inflammatory and you're way better off without it in your life. Your immune system will thank you. Your immune system will thank you, and you'll probably live longer. And I can hear you right now thinking, but what about cheese? I can't live without my cheese, my precious. You know what? You can. You can live without cheese. In fact, I estimate that if you stop eating dairy right now, you will extend your life by a minimum of, let's say, 15 years. No matter how old you are right now, I'm so sure of this that I will guarantee it. If you stop eating dairy today and don't live an extra 15 years, you come see me or tweet me a text or something, and I'll give you all of your money back. Literally, all of your money. But I need you to be absolutely positive that you did not live an extra 15 years from not eating dairy. Now, a lot of people think going vegan will make you lose a bunch of weight, which it might, but definitely not necessarily. A lot of people assume that because I eat a plant-based diet, that I'm super health conscious and I'm super healthy. Well, kind of I am, but kind of not. Fact of the matter is that there's plenty of junk food out there that's vegan. Let me put it another way. Oreos are vegan. That's right, Oreos. I was so happy when I found this out in like 2005. I know. You think there's cream in there? Nope. That's oil. Oil. Most potato chips are vegan. There's French fries. Even Ben and Jerry came out with a line of dairy-free ice cream a couple of years ago. And they're so good. I mean, everybody deserves to have Chunky Monkey in their life. And I'm not usually one for entitlements, but come on, it's Chunky Monkey. It's so good. All right, I've gone down this delicious rabbit hole, and I don't know what I'm talking about. Hang on a second. The Murray Hillbilly. Amazing. Amazing. If you're in the Jacksonville area, and I know for a fact that all three of my listeners are, I'm talking about you, Victoria, And you, Z. Sup, Sandra. And of course, my mom, my lovely mother. Hi, Mom. I love you guys all so much. Thank you for listening. Now, check out these guys at the Murray Hillbilly. They're at the Riverside Arts Market most Saturdays. Follow them on Instagram at the Murray Hillbilly and Facebook. They post their weekly schedules for the food truck. And look out for their new restaurant opening up soon in Murray Hill at 1044 Edgewood Avenue South, which is set to open by the end of October or early November. That's like just a few weeks, man. And that's in the year 2018. If you're listening to this much later than that, then they're probably open already and you should just go on down there. But as these podcasts live forever, who knows? You might be listening to this in the year 5018, and we've all been dead for 3,000 years. And guess what? Probably everybody's vegan now because, you know, we've increased our intelligence, and it's just a no-brainer. War and famine are a thing of the past, and everyone is vegan. Huh. How about that? All right, all right, all right. The next thing I want to tell you about is this wonderful shop here in Jacksonville called Midnight Sun. This place is amazing. The store is like a Hindu Buddhist mecca, if you'll pardon the expression. Or call it a hippie supply depot. I don't know. I love Midnight Sun. They have everything. Tons of amazing jewelry and clothes and incense and soaps and oils. They have amazing statues and carvings, tapestries and books and gemstones. You get the picture. But what I was thrilled to see recently was their amazing collection of singing bowls. Have you heard of singing bowls? Singing bowls have been used for thousands of years for meditation and healing in places like Tibet, India, Thailand, Vietnam, just to name a few. There are these metal bowls, and they kind of act like a bell or a gong when you tap them, or you can rub them around the rim with a wooden stick, and they really do just sing. Kind of like the trick where you run your finger around the rim of a wine glass, if you've ever heard of that. The idea is that you meditate with them by concentrating on the sound, becoming one with the sound, so that eventually, if you can get your mind right, there comes a point where there is no difference between you and the sound, no separation, no listener, no sound, just pure consciousness. So I've got a small bowl that I got years ago. It's about the size of a small cereal bowl. But recently, I've been looking to get a larger one, and I found just what I was looking for at Midnight Sun. First off, I have to say that the staff there was so helpful. The woman who helped me with the bowls, Tabby, was just awesome. She was apparently ready to take all the time in the world to help me. We tried so many bowls, and it was like, how about this one? And oh, check out this one. They probably have 200 bowls there, and she was just there with me, like, let's do this. She was just really great. I spotted this one bowl and it was really huge. I mean, there was a ginormous bowl, like larger than a punch bowl big. And Tabby said, you stand in it and put the smaller one on your head and somebody gives you like a sonic bath by tapping the mallets and tap. And then she's like, you want to try it? I was like, yes. But I had to get a haircut down the street in like 5 minutes. And so it was like, maybe next time. Well, the next time was the next day. I had just gone to the gym and in the same neighborhood and was like, of course I'm coming back. I wanted to get one of those bowls. And when Tabby saw me, she was like, hey. And I said, hey, you said something about standing in one of those bowls. And her eyes lit up and she was like, do you want to do it? And I was like, yes. Now, I don't know if this is a normal thing. Okay, I know this is not a normal thing. But in the context of this awesome hippie mecca with all the crystals and incense and great vibes the staff gives off, how often do they bust out the big bowl and somebody stands in it for a sesh? I don't think it happens a lot. I could be wrong, but you had me basically at Sonic Bath. I'm in. So right there in the middle of the store, it was a busy Saturday, mind you. I popped off my shoes and stepped inside this large, oversized metal punch bowl. Another staff member, Bishop, came to be a spotter because the small bowl goes upside down on your head like a hat. And it's like over $300 for that bull. And if it falls off and gets dented, it's over. That bull's singing career is over. So Bishop spotted as I stepped into the bull. At that point, as much as I am down for this experience, and as much as I try not to let my ego get the best of me, there I am doing something pretty weird in front of a bunch of random strangers who just are maybe like, what is that guy doing over there? Honey, look. But it was fine. Those are just thoughts. So the trick was to not worry about looking silly while trying to have a really deep meditative moment. And it was so good. There's pictures and a short video I'll post online. Christopher, another super helpful staffer, was kind enough to take pictures with my phone. Got a little video. If you can picture it, I'm standing in the over-large metal punch bowl with a smaller one upside down over my head. It's like standing between two sonic parentheses. If you can picture that. You really get lost in the sound after a moment. I was the sound just for a moment. It was beautiful. I walked out of there with a pretty large bowl, not the punch bowl, but kind of like 12 inches across. And yes, it fits over my head. I checked. This one, it's like literally a family heirloom. Like one of my kids will inherit it. And I wonder which one. I've got two. I think if one of them maybe turns out to be leaning more towards meditation, maybe they should get it. Or maybe the one that leans away from meditation should get it. Also, I went back like a week later, last weekend, with Kai to show him around the store, and I met the owner, Maria Cox. She was so awesome. She was super friendly. She offered Kai the chance, and he got in the bowl. Kai got the sonic bath. And then I got another one. It was so cool. It was really amazing. My son is really like down for dad's weirdness and shenanigans. He was fully on board. He's like, yeah, I'll get in there, get my shoes off. But Maria was really great. She sources goods from Bali, Thailand, India, and Nepal, and it's just like super friendly and helpful. And check out the store, Midnight Sun, for sure. You can check them out online, midnightsunimports.net. Thanks again to Tabby and all the awesome folks that helped us out. Check them out. They have everything you need. All right. I also tried something recently that I've wanted to do for a very long time. No, not that. I still haven't gotten up the nerve to try that. But I'm talking about SUP yoga. SUP yoga is yoga on a paddleboard. SUP, S-U-P, stands for Stand Up Paddleboard. And my pal, Jessica Amendola, has a SUP yoga studio in St. Augustine, Florida, called SUP Yoga Center. St. Augustine is just south of Jacksonville, and it's one of the oldest cities in America. In fact, it was founded in 1565 by Spanish explorers. It is the oldest continuously inhabited European established settlement within the borders of the continental United States. You see, you can't just say that it's the oldest city in America because, you know, the Santa Feans or the Plymouthonians will come after you. Anyway, my friend Jessica owns SUP Yoga Center in St. Augustine, and I finally got myself out there for one of the most amazing experiences I've ever had. I interviewed Jessica right after the session, and I'll play that for you in just a moment. But let me tell you, being on the water at sunrise, doing a little meditation before we started, just the whole experience. This is one of those things that defies being able to describe it in words. But of course, I'm going to try because, you know, it's a podcast and you expect me to use my words. But wait, let me try to describe it without words. I'm now going to try to transmit psychically the feeling of connection to the ultimate source of creation that I felt out on the water that morning. Let's see if I can do it. All right, here it is. sounds pretty good on the mic. Singing bowl sounds good now. Did that transmit the sapioca experience properly? So I don't have to talk about it. No, I'll tell you all about it. Suffice it to say that it was super cool. Yeah, that's it. Super cool. Being on the water was exhilarating. The water is literally right there. I mean, you know that kind of in theory before you go out there, but then those boards aren't that wide. It's not like a boat where you're well separated from the water. Even in a canoe, you have walls. This is different. I'm a confident swimmer, and it was a little intimidating doing yoga poses and wobbling around, even though I knew for sure if I fell in, it would be fine. And that first downward dog pose, after meditating and going inward, to open your eyes and tuck your head upside down and see the water rippling in at you with the light bouncing around and the board is rocking back and forth. Did I mention that you're upside down? Wow. I should play the bowl again. It's an experience that you can only get by doing this one thing, this one certain way. Anyway, if you get a chance, take it. Try it. Thank you so much to Jess Amendola at SUP Yoga Center in St. Augustine, Florida, for making this experience available to people. She puts in a lot of hard work. Just loading the paddle boards in and out of the trailer, those things are heavy. Like, seriously. Not to mention the years of dedication to her practice. She is an amazing woman, and she will tell you in the interview where you can find her online, and I'll put it in the notes. Here's the interview. Okay, testing. I think we're good. All right, well, I've just had the most amazing experience with my friend Jessica Amendola. I've just done paddleboard yoga for the first time ever. Yay. Say hi, Jessica.
Hi.
This is Jessica Amendola of SUP Yoga St. Augustine. And we're out here at the amazing St. Augustine Lighthouse Boat Ramp. And I've just had my world rocked by my first yoga on the water. What an amazing experience. Yeah. Thank you so much
Thank
for that.
You.
It really
coming.
It exceeded my expectations.
Oh, I'm so glad.
That was
I'm glad
awesome.
To hear that. Thank you.
So I just wanted to ask a couple questions about the practice,
sure.
About yourself. The first question that really I have to ask is how many people fall in? Nobody fell in during our session. I didn't fall in.
Nobody did today. Surprisingly, not as many as you would think. Typically, people only fall in if they're trying something crazy like headstands. But the boards that we use are made to do yoga on, so they're really stable. And as you could tell, we start with a lot of grounding posture, so keeping people low to the ground. So really, the only risk to fall in is when you are trying something crazy, which is fun, too. Usually, the people falling in are having the most fun. So
I was ready. I was pretty sure I was going to fall in.
You did great.
A couple times, had that moment where your balance is gone, mm-hmm. and it's in the hands of God. Am I going in the water? I decided to, like, push myself a little bit.
Yeah.
I tried doing a wheel. And then after, like, the several attempts, slipping and almost going in, I was like, okay.
Yeah.
I'm good.
But at least you tried.
For sure.
At least you tried.
I was ready for it.
Yeah.
So just to start off wondering, let's see, how did you discover yoga?
I discovered yoga. The first class I took, I was actually in high school, and I remember going with my best friend and kind of giggling the whole time because we'd never heard Sanskrit before, and we're like, what the heck is going on? And then later, I would say in my early 20s, I was pretty heavy into racing and training for some half marathons, marathons, and I kind of had that view of yoga as stretching, which is, it makes me laugh now when people say they think it's stretching, but, and it is stretching, but it's a lot more than that. So pretty quickly after I started going, what kept me coming back was the benefits emotionally and mentally. I was struggling with depression at the time, and it was really helping me a lot with that. So I would say that's what kind of kept me going back. So initially it was like, I'm going to go stretch out my muscles, and then, you know, just having that break for your mind and that learning how to quiet down and learning how to tune in, it just helped me tremendously, and it's something I became addicted to.
Yes, I'm familiar. How long have you been doing it?
I've been doing yoga for about 12 years regularly now.
Yeah, that's awesome. How long have you been a teacher?
I've been teaching it for almost 9 years now. So pretty soon after I started practicing, about 3 years. I really did my teacher training just wanting to dive more into the practice and learn more. And then I remember teaching my first class in our teacher training, and it was like a light came on. Like, this is what I want to do. This is amazing. And I just fell in love with that, just helping people feel good in their skin. And, you know, it's so rewarding to be able to offer that to people. So
yes, that's so good. What was your first introduction to doing yoga on a paddleboard?
So the first time I did that, I actually rented a paddleboard with my mom. We just wanted to try paddleboarding. And when we got out on the water, I just had this urge, like, I have to try yoga on this board. I'd never heard of SUP yoga. I'd never seen anybody do it. It was very strange, but it was a very natural transition for me. So it's fun because I still have videos from that day. But yeah, it just became natural for me. And then I discovered it was actually a thing. And so just completely fell in love with it. And did a certification to teach that. And then I've been teaching SUP yoga for about 6 years. And also the last 2 years been certifying other teachers to teach SUP yoga as well.
That's amazing.
Yeah. I love it.
The first time we went into Downward Dog, the view really hit me. You're upside down and there's just a plane of water.
Yes.
Just rippling towards you.
It's my favorite.
So good.
Yes. That's the posture I always try to remind people to just notice your view for a second, because it's easy to be looking at the board or kind of forgetting, but that simple cue is like, whoa, it's amazing. That's definitely one of my favorites, to see the water as your sky. It's really, really cool. It's really special.
Definitely. I was, last couple of days when I was planning on coming out and trying it, doing yoga at home and looking at the mat and looking at the floor and thinking, that's going to be water right there.
Cool.
And I have to tell you, I was a little scared.
Yeah, I think that's normal.
A little intimidating.
Yeah.
Just in my head. Not even before we got out here, I was like, oh my gosh. I mean, I'm a confident swimmer.
Right.
So, you know, whatever. You fall in the water, it's all good.
Yeah.
But
were you nervous this morning?
Just for the first 2 seconds, getting onto the board and getting onto my feet.
Mm-hmm.
And then, this is really stable.
Yes.
And then a couple of slips and a couple of off-balance moments are like, ugh. And you know it's just the water, and
it's
you can swim, and
it'll
be fun and probably even better to take a dip
it is.
In the moment.
Those are the people having the most fun, like I said.
That's great.
Yeah, but people do get very nervous to come, and I always tell them, just try something new, and I think you typically surprise yourself. I feel like you probably did today. I mean,
I did.
You were a natural. You did awesome.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Having done yoga for 2, maybe 3 years by now, and being familiar with the poses helped a lot.
Yes.
I couldn't imagine coming in first time on the water, not having done yoga. But I'm sure those people come around and try it out.
And I'm always so impressed by those people.
That's great.
We have people that have never done yoga or paddleboarding. Like, you guys rock. That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's pretty scary to, you know, to dive into two new things now,
yes.
But, you know, it's great.
Very cool. Well, I feel like you may have answered this question, but let me kind of put it this way. When you decided to start your own teaching practice, was there any inkling of, like, having a conventional studio, or was it just like, I'm going to be on the water?
No, I mean, honestly, I do love teaching indoors as well. I find that you can offer a different experience indoors. out here is wonderful and you have that aspect of nature, which really helps people being present. But, you know, there are those moments of laughter and, you know, people falling in. And so I do still really enjoy the aspect of being indoors in a quiet space. And, you know, it's a different experience. But I still think about opening an on-land studio sometimes. But I would, of course, always have Sup Yoga, too.
That's great.
Yeah.
Where can people find you online?
People can find me at www.supyogacenter.com. You can also find us on social media at Sup Yoga Center.
Awesome. And to follow you personally?
To follow me personally is at Jess Amendola, Amendola.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks for the whole experience and for sitting down for this interview.
Absolutely.
I'm looking forward to more.
Thank you so much.
Awesome. Thanks. Thanks again to Jessica for providing that experience and for sitting down with me for the interview. So good. After the interview, I hopped in my car and was listening to a Jack Kornfield podcast. I know, right? Shocker. And he read this poem by a Buddhist nun that was eerily appropriate for the moment. So I'm going to share that with you now. It's by a woman named Amadina. And she says, "For so long, I thought only of the river's end. Then one morning, I set my paddle down to watch the sunrise over the eastern hills, only to find myself floating somehow, gently upstream. I promise, it is not what I expected." Wow, so nice. This is so nice. We should think about putting our paddles down and taking a little break from thinking about the river's end. You know what I'm saying? Some place we're trying to get to in the future. Let's just be here now, in the moment. And maybe, just maybe, like Amadina, we might find ourselves somehow floating gently upstream. Thank you for taking the time. I'm so grateful to have you here. Until next time, namaste. Hey guys, before you head out, I just wanted to let you know that a great way to support the podcast is becoming a patron at patreon.com/gurumojo. For just $2 a month, you can have early access to podcasts as well as guided meditations that aren't available anywhere else. That's at patreon.com/gurumojo. And thank you so much to my current patrons. I love you guys. And hit me up on Instagram and Twitter at gurumojome and on Facebook as gurumojo. Thanks again and have a great week. Oh, maybe we should do a little singing bowl meditation just to play us out. Let's do that. Let's do a singing bowl meditation. Here it is. Now listen, I'm going to play this thing. And if you're in a good place where you can close your eyes and be quiet and be with this sound and kind of ask yourself, what is sound? Where does the sound go? It gets quieter and quieter, but where does it go? And who am I? And what's going on here? Wait, I'm sorry. Just listen and be with the sound. I love you guys. Until next time.